Can I ask you about your cold Lavrov? He said in the readout that he's trying to encourage the U.S. to withdraw staff from Kyiv. Did you talk to him?
Well, they sent a notice to all the embassies, and I think he was just calling personally to tell me. They told all the embassies to Kyiv's going to be a very dangerous place. Kyiv's been a very dangerous place now for a number of years. But the danger in all of these wars as they continue and they go on is that they always have the threat of escalation, of spreading into something new. So I spoke to him yesterday about that and a couple other topics, and obviously the Putin had asked him to call me to relay the message directly to the president, which I did, but obviously we had already seen the notice sent out to all the diplomatic facilities. And I said, you know, right now there is no active, like, scheduled negotiations ongoing with Ukraine, but the U.S. is always prepared to play a constructive, helpful role if that opportunity presents itself.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 26th, coming to you from Moscow. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started with today's news stories, let me say a quick thank you to everyone that is liking these videos. Thank you to everyone that is commenting on these videos, to all of those who have subscribed to this channel or will subscribe to this channel. Thank you so much for your subscription. And also to everyone who is hyping. Thank you for the hypes. Really appreciate them hypes. Let's talk about the warnings, more than warnings, I believe, from Russia to the collective West and the diplomats and foreigners, NGOs, think tankers, intel agents in Kyiv. The warnings to the authorities, the regime of Le Goblin Vert. The warnings to citizens to stay away from administrative buildings and from decision-making centers and military facilities in Ukraine. These warnings issued yesterday by the Russian Foreign Ministry and also by the Ministry of Defense. A warning that was relayed from Lavrov to Marco Rubio, and a message from Putin to Trump from Lavrov. This message from Putin was given to Lavrov, and Lavrov told Rubio to pass this on to. It is raining now. Am I safe under this? To pass on this message to U.S. President Trump. I think I'm all right under this structure. I hope I'm all right under this structure. Anyway, we have serious warnings, serious statements from the Russian government after the terrorist attack in Lugansk at the dormitory. It does look like the gloves are coming off, and Russia's approach to this conflict is changing. Some of the language used by the Russian government as they were issuing these various statements and warnings, ultimatums, were that systemic strikes will now be taking place in Kyiv towards military facilities, towards decision-making centers, and not only in the capital of Ukraine, but I imagine throughout Ukraine, targeting these decision-making centers and military facilities. Systematic strikes. Those are the exact words used in the statements from the Russian government. They also said that the terrorist strike attack into the dormitory was the last straw. That is a direct quote, the last straw. And that there is a shift now in Moscow's strategy in the Ukraine conflict. These are all statements, quotes from the various statements put out there by the Russian Foreign Ministry and the Russian Ministry of Defense. Systematic strikes, last straw, and shift in Moscow's strategy towards the Ukraine conflict. So, the statement from the Russian Foreign Ministry, and I'm going to read it to you, posted on social media, and not only the Russian Foreign Ministry, but just about every Russian embassy around the world, they pretty much posted the same message, saying, given the continued terrorist attacks by the Kiev regime against Russian civilians, the Ministry of Defense of Russia will be targeting Ukrainian defense industry facilities in Kiev. Foreign nationals, including diplomatic missions and staff, should leave the city ASAP. The continued terrorist attacks is what this statement says. And all of these foreign nationals, diplomatic staff, missions, etc., should leave the city ASAP. And this is a message coming from all of the embassies, the Russian embassy in Ukraine, in the UK. Russia's armed forces will begin launching strikes on Ukrainian defense industry sites in Kiev. We urge foreign nationals, including personnel of diplomatic missions and international organizations, to leave the city immediately. To leave the city immediately. Now, I say this, the reason I'm focusing on ASAP, leave the city immediately, the use of these words from the Russian Foreign Ministry and all of the embassies, and from the Russian Ministry of Defense, is because during Lavrov and Rubio's call, Rubio made it out as if this was just a general warning issued by Russia. This was not a specific warning, not a warning specific to the United States and to the U.S. embassy staff or U.S. nationals in Kiev. Rubio played this down. He chalked it up to just a part of the war, a part of the terrible war that is going on. And he said, look, it's a war. It's horrific. And this was a general warning from Lavrov to myself, a message from Putin, given to Lavrov that I'm going to pass on to U.S. President Trump. But he really did play it down when the Russian statements are saying, leave immediately, embassy staff, foreign nationals, leave ASAP. The EU is taking the same approach. They're also playing this down. They're saying this is just another empty threat from Russia. They're trying to scare Ukraine, they're trying to scare the collective West and NATO. And they're saying that no staff is going to leave. No one is leaving. And the way I read their statements in response to the Russian statements is that they believe this is just an empty threat from Russia meant to scare the collective West and to scare the Ukraine government. I would not take that approach with regards to these statements and these warnings. I have never seen the Russian government in the last 4 or 5 years. I've never seen them come out with these types of statements and use these types of words. So Lavrov, in his phone call with Rubio, He drew Rubio's attention to the recommendation issued by the Foreign Ministry in anticipation of the impending campaign. Why is Rubio playing this down? Anyway, let me continue. Urging that all foreign nations, including the U.S., ensure the evacuation of their diplomatic personnel and other citizens from the Ukrainian capital. Urging the evacuation of personnel. Personnel to leave ASAP. Personnel, diplomats, to leave the capital immediately. Why is Rubio, why are the Europeans ignoring this? Why are they not taking it seriously? They really should be taking these statements very seriously. It's also worth pointing out that as Rubio was talking to the media, I think he's on his way back to the United States from his trip to India, and he was speaking to the media on board his plane. It was interesting that he did not specifically condemn the big Russian strike into Kiev. He did not specifically condemn or call out the use of the Oreshnik. At least I did not hear Rubio making such a statement. While the Europeans, in unison, they basically put together the same scripted message and posted it on X, talking about the Oreshnik strike, condemning the Oreshnik strike, condemning what they call Russia's terrorist activities, and what they also called Putin's weakness. That was pretty much the message from the Europeans. Rubio said none of that. He actually said that the United States, though it is not involved in any negotiations at the moment, is ready to assist in negotiations and mediation. That was a statement from Rubio. And it's also interesting, it's also worth pointing out that Putin did not talk to Trump directly. Isn't that interesting? Putin gave a message to Lavrov. Lavrov passed on the message from the Russian president to Rubio, and Rubio is going to pass on that message to Trump. It's also worth noting that no calls, no warnings, no contact was made with any Europeans, any collective West leaders. No surprise there, but still, it's worth noting that it's only with the United States that Russia is communicating with when it comes to the collective West. Completely ignoring the Europeans, basically telling the United States, we're only going to be contacting you, we're only in talks with you. As far as your allies, your vassals and your allies go, they can get our messages and our warnings from social media, from X and Telegram. So June is going to be very, very hot. And I'm not talking about the weather. It's going to be very, very hot. A lot of military activity is what I anticipate come June. We actually have, speaking of June, an order from the Russian government, a decree, where they are closing the airspace beginning in June to any drones or small aircraft up to a certain height, up to a certain altitude. Commercial flights, of course, no problem, but any drones or any small aircraft that don't have the proper authorization or anything like that is shut down. So it does look like Russia is preparing come June for big operations against Ukraine and specifically against Kiev, the weapons facilities, decision-making centers, NATO command centers. intel centers? They're all being targeted now, or they all will be targeted now. So that's the big news from yesterday. Huge news, I would say. Definitely a shift in the war is coming, no doubt about that. So we can now move on to the other war in the Middle East. We'll return back to Ukraine as we continue to report the news. But let's shift gears and go to the other big story on this Tuesday, which is the U.S. attack on two speedboats in Iran, and also the U.S. attack on missile launcher installations in the south of Iran. CENTCOM is saying that these attacks were in self-defense. So there is no violation of whatever ceasefire is allegedly happening between the United States and Iran. There's a ceasefire, though. You do have a sea blockade of Iran. But two speedboats eliminated and missile launcher sites in Bandar Abbas was also hit. CENTCOM said in a statement that U.S. forces had conducted self-defense strikes in southern Iran today to protect our troops from threats posed by Iranian forces. The statement added that the targets included missile sites and Iranian boats attempting to place mines. Yeah, so these boats were putting down mines, and the United States decided to attack these speedboats. Very similar to how they were attacking the speedboats out of Venezuela that were allegedly carrying narcotics and drugs. So now they're taking out the speedboats that they claim are laying mines in the Strait of Hormuz. Al Jazeera was reporting, according to a source, that there had been some sort of a deal worked out between the United States and Iran on frozen assets, that the U.S. was going to return anywhere between $6 billion or $12 billion in Iranian frozen assets, that this was mediated by Qatar, and that this is a positive sign of progress. I've read reports following the Al Jazeera breaking news that this is not the case, that they still have not agreed on the frozen assets. They have not agreed on the amount. I've also read reports claiming that Iran has anywhere between $24 billion in frozen assets, all the way up to $100 billion in frozen assets that they are demanding be returned to Iran as part of this deal or this negotiation process, if that's what you want to call it, between the United States and Iran. So I am not sure what is going on with the stories about the frozen assets or the progress that is being made with regards to the return of Iranian frozen assets. What it does highlight is that the frozen assets are an easier issue to negotiate, in my opinion, than say the Strait of Hormuz or the blockade or the uranium enrichment. And they can't even solve that one. So I do believe we have a ways to go if we are going to ever get to some sort of an agreement or a 60-day memorandum of understanding or a letter of intent. Could that could also happen. We need to see how all of the develops between Iran and the United States, if anything is developing between the United States. Was it video? We're going to get an announcement. Right? And then we're going to get an announcement the next day. And there's no reports which are told the IDF to ramp up the attacks against Lebanon and against Hezbollah positions in Lebanon, like really, really crank it up and ramp it up. Of course, part of the alleged memorandum of understanding agreement is that one of the main points is that the war in Lebanon also needs to stop. There needs to be a ceasefire and an end to the war in Lebanon. And so what does Netanyahu do? He puts out an order to the Israeli military to crank things up, obviously to try and sabotage any progress that may be taking place in these negotiations with Pakistan mediating. I don't know what to call it. Negotiations, we'll have to call it negotiations. Pakistan mediating. It doesn't appear to be any direct U.S.-Iran sitting at a table talking to one another. Negotiations going on. Everything appears to be going through Pakistan. We also have an update on Hormuz. I've been talking about the Hormuz deal that they're trying to put together. And yesterday I mentioned that Iran had put out a statement saying that there will be no toll or anything like that for Hormuz if there is going to be an agreement. And then I said, maybe no toll, but just change it to a tax or just make it a payment to the maintenance of Hormuz, to the environment and the maintenance of Hormuz, in much the same way that the Chinese government has done with Iran. The Chinese ships that are passing through Hormuz, they don't pay any fee or any toll or anything like that to Iran. What they do is they make a payment to Iran for the maintenance of the Strait of Hormuz. It's a maintenance fee, a fee for the environment and for the upkeep of Hormuz, to keep it operating and to keep it environmentally safe, environmentally sound, whatever. But that's what Tehran is going to do. That is exactly what they said they're going to do now. No toll, but they will collect fees for environmental protection. Environmental protection, that's the words that I was looking for. So yeah, no toll, no tax, nothing like that for Hormuz. You're just going to have to pay an environmental protection amount. Environmental protection fee, which I imagine the collective West, especially the Europeans, will be absolutely happy about, right? They love the whole environmental carbon tax stuff. So they should be applauding Iran for this move. But they're not. They're not going to do that. They love to impose environmental taxes and carbon taxes. But when Iran decides to impose an environmental protection fee, nah, they're going to condemn it. So Trump posted on Truth Social. He said that, another post on Iran and the uranium enrichment, that the enriched uranium nuclear deal will either be immediately turned over to the United States to be brought home and destroyed, or preferably in conjunction and coordination with the Islamic Republic of Iran, destroyed in place or at another acceptable location with the Atomic Energy Commission or its equivalent being witness to this process and event. Thank you for your attention to this matter. DJT. The uranium will either be immediately turned over to the United States to be brought home. To be brought home. That's an interesting use of words there. Interesting wording there. The uranium to be brought home to the United States. Okay. Okay, Estonia. Let's talk about Estonia. The uranium is coming home. I like it. The uranium is coming home. Let's talk about the Estonian political class. The best politicians and diplomats and political class on the entire planet. They really know how to pick them in Estonia, don't they? The foreign minister of Estonia, he has revealed Putin's plot. He has revealed the plot. The game that Russia is playing out of desperation, according to the Estonian foreign minister. Russia wants the EU to negotiate with Russia. They want the EU to negotiate because, according to the Estonian foreign minister, it buys Russia time. And if the European Union is stuck in negotiations with Russia, then they will not be able to impose a devastating 21 sanctions package, because it's the 21 sanctions package, according to the Estonian foreign minister, that Russia really fears. That's the one, the 21st sanctions package, and Russia's trying to prevent the 21st sanctions package, and the way they prevent it is by getting the EU caught up in negotiations. And the thing that Russia fears the most, according to the Estonian foreign minister, is that the 21st sanctions package will contain a complete ban on maritime services throughout the European Union and a whole series of other sanctions. It's the complete ban of maritime services throughout the European Union that is going to bring the Russian government down. This is what Putin fears. This is why Russia is trying to lure the European Union with reverse psychology. They're trying to lure the European Union into negotiations with Russia, preventing a 21st sanctions package, preventing a maritime ban, and buying Russia the needed time that will save it from certain collapse. It's an awesome theory from the Estonian foreign minister. Who would place a ban on maritime services at this moment in time? You would have to be absolutely nutso, crazy, reckless, incompetent to place a ban, a complete ban, on all maritime services for Russian energy, oil, and gas at this exact moment in time, given everything that is happening in the Middle East and with the Strait of Hormuz. Only the most incompetent of leaders would actually go ahead and do such a thing. Okay, so they're going to place a ban on maritime services. Okay, the EU's going to do it, yeah. It makes sense now, okay. But that's going to be the 21st sanctions package. Great timing from the European Union, right? Strait of Hormuz close. Energy, oil, and gas crisis that is going to hit Europe the hardest out of any region on the entire planet. It is going to hurt Europe the hardest. It's going to hurt Europe the most. And they're going to go ahead and place a complete maritime ban, or they're going to try to do it in the 21st sanctions package. Greece is not going to like it. Cyprus is not going to like it. Malta is not going to like it. We'll see come June, when the sanctions package is going to be discussed. Let's talk about the World Cup. And we have an update on the Iranian football team. They will not be allowed to play in the United States. They will not be allowed to stay in the United States, to enter the USA. The Trump administration has banned them. There will not be a change in that decision. But what has happened is that Mexico has stepped up. That's right. Mexico has said, okay, if the United States will not allow the Iranian football team to enter the country and to participate in the World Cup, which is starting June 16th, I want to say, then Mexico is going to host the Iranian football team, and they will play their games in Mexico, and they will stay in Mexico. So good job to Mexico for making it happen. Let's do a clown world and wrap up today's video. And today's clown world is a clown world that I cannot really show you guys. I can't show you guys today's clown world. I can't play the video. I can't even really talk about what was said during this clown world. But what I can do is give you the needed context, and you can go search for this video on X or on Telegram. So what do we got here? We have the former Canadian, what was she, the right hand of Trudeau, the real power in the Trudeau administration, one-time finance minister, second in charge of Trudeau's administration, very high positions in the Trudeau government, very, very dialed into to Soros and the WEF, Chrystia Freeland, who is now some sort of a special envoy or something connected to Ukraine and to Le Gobelin Vert. She was at an event. Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister, okay, that's what she was in the Trudeau administration. She was at an event in Toronto, and she was confronted by angry audience members, angry attendees. And the stuff they were yelling at Chrystia Freeland, I just simply cannot say. I can't say it. I can't show you the video, obviously. But wow. Wow, the stuff they were saying to Freeland. And she was visibly angry, shaken by everything that the people were yelling at her. Definitely search out the video. Find the video and you'll see what I'm talking about. Connected not to Ukraine. Not to Ukraine, but actually connected to Gaza, actually. But still, Chrystia Freeland really, really heard it from the attendees at this event in Toronto. So I will end it there. Is there any breaking news that I need to discuss? I think I got everything. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, Telegram, and X. Let's move closer. Let's move in closer. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch. We are still running a special on hats and t-shirts. I believe for another day, tops, 30% off hats and t-shirts. Got about 24 hours, probably less, to get in on some of that 30% discount action. But definitely check it out on the Durant shop. And I think I will end the video there. I'm just going through the timeline, my timeline here, to see if I missed anything. I think I got everything. Europeans refused to evacuate. I talked about that. Evacuate Kiev. I mentioned that. That was my top story. Oh, Rubio is in Yerevan. Okay, so he's flying to Yerevan. He arrived in Yerevan, Armenia. Collective West, NATO, they are focusing on Armenia big time. There's a huge U.S. embassy in Armenia, massive, maybe the biggest U.S. embassy compound in the world, or the second biggest. It's a city inside the city, or on the outskirts of the city. You have Yerevan, which is the capital city of Armenia, and then you have a whole other city, which is pretty much the U.S. embassy. So that shows you the importance of Armenia for the United States and for the collective West. And with Pashinyan in charge, they have a very good chance of causing chaos in Armenia. Another developing story that we will have to keep a close eye on. All right, that is the video. I am done for today. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.